Study the Bible with Dr. Fred Whitman.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His Word. Hearken to the voice of God unto thee. Is there anything to hide for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His Word. For everything, yes, everything is possible.
The Happy Heralds believe the pressing need of the hour is personal Bible study. The Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, wrote, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." To assist you in this important task, to study the Bible, Dr. Whitman opens and explains the sacred pages over the Internet for your convenience and benefit. Why not get your Bible in pencil and paper and be ready to follow in the study? If you click on Study the Bible Notes on our webpage, you will be able to follow Dr. Whitman as he proceeds. You may also download these notes for future reference. After a musical selection, we'll hear from Dr. Whitman. In the meantime, we would appreciate your help. Will you please pick up your telephone and dial the number of a relative or friend and ask them to log on to this program at www.happyheralds.org and click on Study the Bible for inspiring, relevant, and beneficial study in God's precious Word. Now, our hymn selection for today.
Cannot hide from God, though mountains cover you. His eyes our secret thoughts behold. His mercies all our lives enfold. He knows our purposes untold. You cannot hide from God. You cannot hide from God. You cannot hide from God. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you cannot hide from God. His eye is fixed on you. Hide from God, no matter what you do. He meets you at life's every turn. He knows your thoughts that blight and burn. He weeps when His own Son you spurn. You cannot hide from God. Cannot hide from God. This one thing you can do, if you would save your sinful soul, if you would be made pure and whole, if you would reach the highest goal, your soul must hide in God. You cannot hide from God. You cannot hide from God. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you cannot hide from God. His eye is fixed on you.
We thank you for your email letters. Friends, if we can be of spiritual help to you, or you would like one of our free CDs, our address is info@happyheralds.org. That's info@happyheralds.org. I trust you have your Bible ready with pencil and paper to take a few notes. Now here's our Bible teacher, your friend and my dad, Dr. Fred Whitman.
Thank you, Andrew, and welcome, friend, to Study the Bible.
It's a real joy to me to be God's chosen vessel to assist you to study the Bible. If this broadcast is a blessing and a benefit to you, I would appreciate hearing from you.
Please use the email address that Andrew will give you in the closing announcement. We are happy you logged on just now, and we trust you will be richly blessed as you listen, and that you will make it a priority of yours to log on to these broadcasts on a regular basis.
Now our study is on great words of the Bible, and we're still considering biblical faith. I'm going to have you turn there in a minute. However, I would like to ask you to assist me, if I may. If you're a faithful listener, I trust that you'll put us on your prayer list and pray every day for
the Happy Heralds and
Study the Bible. Would you do that if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? And then if you would be so kind to help us to make this known to others, we would appreciate it so much. Now to biblical faith. What does biblical faith do? Biblical faith works, and biblical faith wins. Now we're not talking about mental faith. We're not talking about intellectual assent to historical facts. We're not talking about believing with your head and agreeing to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died and rose again for you. We're not thinking about the kind of faith that comes from your mind or your head. That's 18 inches away from salvation. We're talking about heart faith. We're talking about a total commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, which springs from confidence and
trust.
It's a conviction full of trust. It means to commit, to put in trust with another, because of persuasion and being convinced. Biblical faith is an active personal trust in the God of the Scriptures and in Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. A faith which does not impel to action is not biblical faith. A faith which does not result in a changed relation to God in Christ is not biblical faith. A faith which does not work transformingly in the life is not biblical faith. Biblical faith can be summed in an acrostic, finding all in the hope, who is Christ, or the Holy One. Or, forsaking all, I take Him. It's obedience without understanding why and how. Biblical faith works, and biblical faith wins. And a faith that wins glorifies God, we saw. Glorifies God in our stewardship, glorifies God in our surrender, glorifies God in our suffering. And then we said that a faith that wins goes. It walks, causes us to walk in forgiveness, to walk in peace, to walk in spiritual sight, following Him in the way closely. Following not afar off as Peter followed, but closely. A biblical faith goes in gratitude. A biblical faith, a faith which wins, causes one to go by faith, not by sight. Not from what we can see with our physical eyes, but taking God at His word, trusting Him when it almost seems impossible. And we wonder how. As the priests carrying the ark across the Jordan River, as it was flowing and overflowed its banks, when their feet went into the river opened.
For the children of Israel.
A biblical faith goes in faith, and then we said a biblical faith grows. And we cited Luke 17:5, the last time we were together. Increase our faith, cried the disciples. Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17 and 20, I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. The mustard seed, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 13:32, indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown,
it is become the
greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the
branches thereof.
Now I want you, if you will please, to turn to Romans 4, where we left off yesterday. Romans 4, and we'll be looking at verse 20 again. And if you turn in your Bible, it will be so much better for you if you can stop what you're doing to turn in your Bible and follow with me and take a few notes, references, a couple of statements that we make, and the basic outline points that we give you. They'll help you so much, especially as you review them and consider them carefully and faithfully after we go off the air. It'll mean so much more to you. Now, Romans 4:20, we read that Paul is speaking about Abraham and his faith, and we looked at this yesterday. And I just want to review verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham was strong in faith. Now, that strength in faith came as his faith grew. He first started out just simply obeying the call of God. God called him to leave his country, to leave his kith and kin, to leave that place which was home, to go to another country, a country which God would give him.
And he became a pilgrim and a stranger.
And was willing to just travel through that land which God promised he would give him, and not become an adherent or a constituent of that country. He did not see
the God give him that
promise right away. It was years that passed, but he was strong in faith. And as God tested his faith, he became stronger. And as God tests your faith, you must become stronger. My friend, do you have faith, biblical faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you made a commitment to him? Then if you have, and you say, yes, I know him as my Savior, I have his wonderful salvation as a gift, then let me ask you this.
How much has your faith grown?
Because the right kind of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ
grows.
It goes on and grows and becomes stronger and increases. Let's see how that works. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians first. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. Here Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, or Paul, Silas, and Timothy, are writing to the church of Thessalonica. And this is the second epistle, and he says in verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity or love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. In other words, Paul is saying here, by your faith that is growing, you Thessalonians, by your faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, you are giving indication that you're counting yourself worthy of the kingdom of God. Now, if you want to be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, then you must have a faith that grows. And if a faith is just merely having received the Lord Jesus Christ, mental faith, saying, I know him as my Savior, now I can sit back and spend eternity in heaven, and I don't have to worry about the way I live, nonsense. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. That's a lie from Satan himself. He would have you do just that. That you can, by mental faith, enter into heaven.
But listen,
we read in James that the devil believes and the demons believe and tremble. They also have mental faith, but it doesn't save them. And mental faith doesn't save anyone. I remember speaking to someone and asking them about their relationship to God and how they expected to enter heaven. And they said, oh, I believe. I've always believed. I believed in Christ all my life. They might have believed and accepted with their mind Jesus Christ, but what change has taken place in their life? How much growth in faith
has been demonstrated?
Now, I know from experience and from the Word of God, and I will be first to agree with you that there are varying degrees of biblical faith in various different people, that everybody doesn't have the same degree of faith. I'm aware of that. But I'm saying that as we live on this earth, day by day, just as we grow physically from a little child, a little infant on up, and we grow physically, so we grow spiritually, and faith grows. And it says here that the faith of the Thessalonians groweth exceedingly. Now, there are some people that don't grow so exceedingly. But how wonderful it is, and what a blessed experience it is if your faith does grow exceedingly. Biblical faith grows. It doesn't always grow exceedingly, but it does grow. Look over in the second epistle of Corinthians, where I wanted to turn you a moment ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The Corinthian church didn't have a faith
that grew
exceedingly. No, that growth wasn't exceeding. But there was among those carnal believers those who had faith. And Paul tells them that the battleground in the life, the spiritual battleground, is in the thought life. It's in the mind. And then he says that there are some who would think that he's weighty and powerful, and they say he's weighty and powerful by his letters.
But his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is contemptible.
And verse 11, he says, let such an one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are
present.
For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not
wise.
That's the problem with too many people today. And it's not wise. It's not understanding. It's not good sense to compare yourself with somebody else.
I must compare myself with the word of the God. You must compare yourself with the word of the God. In
verse 13 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says, but we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. Paul's talking about the measure by which he is reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do you measure?
How far you reach.
With the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says he's measuring according to the rule of God. For we stretch not ourselves
beyond our measure,
as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Saul of Tarsus left Tarsus to go to Antioch, and at Antioch he became a teacher, and from there he was sent out as a
world missionary.
And he came all the way to Corinth. And he says, I'm not going to stop there. I don't want to stop there. He says, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labor. We're not talking about what other men are doing. But having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you
according to our rule abundantly.
What is his rule? What is his abundant rule?
Which he followed abundantly.
To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready
to our hand.
But he that glorieth, let him glory
in thee, Lord.
For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord
commendeth.
And so Paul is concerned about the Corinthians growing in faith.
Verse 15.
When your faith is increased, we have hope that when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged
by you.
We'll be reaching people round about you and beyond your borders as you reach out with
the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Do you see? Faith increases, and as it increases, it goes. And as it goes, it tells about
the Lord Jesus Christ.
How many people are you telling about
the Lord Jesus Christ?
How far are you going with the gospel of
the Lord Jesus Christ?
How much is your faith increasing? You see, if your faith hasn't increased, you never do get out
with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You're content to go to church on the Lord's Day. Perhaps even go back again in the midweek. You're content to spend several hours a week in church and give your money and do the best you can and serve on a committee.
But don't take the gospel. And that's exactly what the devil wants. But a faith that is a biblical faith that wins grows.
We can see this in Jude 20, if you will, please. The next to the last book in the Bible, Jude. Jude 20.
And Jude has only one chapter.
So when we talk about Jude 20, we're talking about the 20th verse of the only chapter
of Jude.
Now he is in the context talking about murmurers and complainers who walk after their own lusts.
In verse 16.
And their mouth speaketh great swelling words. They have men's persons in admiration
because of advantage.
They regard people because it'll give them some kind of advantage. They have respect to people who have position because they can benefit
by them.
Verse 17, however, Jude says, But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate
themselves,
sensual,
having not the Spirit.
These are those who are going to get away from the church. They're going to walk. They're going to separate themselves from true believers in Jesus Christ. They're going to walk after their own sensual lusts. They're going to be involved in immorality. They're going to disregard God's law and God's word and commandment and order concerning marriage and divorce and remarriage. And they're going to disregard what God's word teaches in this respect. Sensual. They want to satisfy the lusts of the flesh.
They have not the Spirit.
But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ
unto eternal life.
And so he tells us that we have to build ourselves on our most holy faith. You see, once you have expressed and experienced a relationship with God in Christ because of faith, once you have come to that place where you know him as your Savior and Lord, then you are to build yourself up on your most holy faith.
Now, when a young person wants to build himself up, he goes to great length to eat the right food. He goes to great length to exercise in the proper way. And he wants to really build up his body
to be strong.
He may go through weightlifting exercises
to build up
his muscles.
We read and hear of advertisements of getting a good start for the day. And a certain kind of bread will build your body. And a certain kind of cereal will build your body. And then the beef industry tells us that meat is good to build your
body. And so
we have various kinds of food that are necessary to build your
body.
And if a person will take great lengths in having proper diet, in order that they might have a strong body, you must
go to
great lengths to have the proper diet in order to build your spirit, to build up yourself on your most holy faith.
In your spiritual life.
Therefore, you have to study the Word of God. You have to read the Word of God.
You have to
take time to make sure that you get a proper amount of time spent in God's Word. And then you must exercise properly. And the only way to exercise properly is to take the gospel and share it with others. You can only exercise properly in the spiritual sense when what you have taken in, you share with others. Now, I know that everybody listening to my voice cannot be a Bible teacher, cannot be a Bible school teacher or Sunday school teacher.
But you can share what you know and what God has done for you and for others.
You can share the Word of God with others. And there are ways to do this. Some dear ladies get together and have a coffee Bible hour where they share the Word of God
with others.
Grow
in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, we haven't finished this. We'll pick it up again tomorrow. But, my friend, let me ask you. Since you have believed in Jesus Christ and received him as your Savior, how much has your faith grown? Are you taking care to build yourself up on your most holy faith? And then, if you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ
as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to do so today. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ right now. There by your computer, bow your head.
and say, Lord, I have believed in my head, but I haven't believed in my heart, and I want to take you now.
I repent of my sin and my sinful way. I turn from going my own way to the Lord Jesus Christ and commit my trust with my whole heart to Him to persistently go in Thee, God's way, and follow Thee, Lord Jesus Christ.
With all my heart I receive You as my Savior,
and I ask You
to save me and to make me to grow in the Lord, grow exceedingly,
and
build myself up
in my most holy faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Why not do it now, and then write and tell me about it. I'll be glad to hear of your newfound joy. And we hope you'll be on hand to be at class with us
next time. Remember, study and obey the God's Word.
If you would like to take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior right now and would like assistance to do so, please go to our homepage and click on Knowing the Savior broadcast. Then write to our email address and tell us of your momentous decision and your newfound joy.
Precious is the book divine, by inspiration given. Bright as a lamp, its doctrines shine to guide our souls to
We have been listening to Study the Bible with Dr. Fred Whitman, brought to you by Happy Heralds, Incorporated. We invite you to log on again when Dr. Whitman opens God's Word and leads us again to study the Bible. We trust and pray that you have been richly blessed, and we encourage you to ask others to log on in order that they too may be blessed. We also ask you to uphold us in prayer as we endeavor to spread God's Word. If you care to write Dr. Whitman or request further information and free, true to the word, evangelistic and discipleship materials and a CD which includes this broadcast, our email address is info@happyheralds.org. That's info@happyheralds.org. Thank you for being with us today. Be sure to log on again for additional helpful broadcasts. And remember to use that email address. We'd love to hear from you today. Thank you for listening. Until next time, this is Andrew David Whitman bidding you goodbye, and may the one true God richly bless you with mercy and grace from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Goodbye, our God is watching over you. Goodbye, His mercy goes before you. Goodbye, and we'll be praying for you. So goodbye, may God bless you.